The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. My name is Tony Lightfoot. This is the latest edition of the TWBC podcast, and great to have you on board. Great to have your support, and we're getting right to the nitty-gritty at the end of the season. There are a couple of pro tournaments to go before we rest up, or at three if you count the Travers Grand Prix, which is coming up this weekend. But right here in front of me, one of the rare instances I get to do this, is I've got Joel Poland here, who's the Water Ski Pro Tour Men's Jump Champion for the season. So congratulations on that, first of all.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Good, good. All right, then. So the season has had its ups and it's had its downs a little bit. But how would you summarize the season?
For me, the season's been unreal. It's been really good. Just straight from the start. Like, went to Moomba in one jump, which was unreal. Made a trick podium, which was cool. You know, jump has been unbelievable this year. I'm stoked with that one. I kind of want to up my trick a little bit, but same thing with slalom. But yeah, jump has been great.
Okay. All right, then. Yeah, take us a little bit throughout your season. I mean, your first tournament was Moomba, right? So kind of give us a little bit more of an expanded summary as to what happened there for the good folks that don't already know.
Yeah, so Moomba was the first tournament. I've not been allowed in for a few years because I've...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been banned from Australia.
I didn't want to remind you of that, but kind of tell us a little bit of the backstory on that.
Yeah, I mean, after COVID, I went to Moomba. I had the wrong visa. I got turned around in Sydney, and I got banned from entering Australia. So, since then, I've been trying to get visas, and I finally managed to get a visa. They would let me in. Hands were a little clammy when I was going through security and everything. But,
I bet.
Yeah, they let me in, which was sweet. Super happy just to even be at Moomba. Had a good season last year and, you know, overall in jump. I'd been skiing well in general last year, so I was hopeful that I would ski well. And, you know, three out of three finals, which was really cool. I was in the mix. Slalomed okay. I was, you know, I ran my 38. I was, I don't know, 2.5 boys off of the win. And, managed to pull it together in jump, which was sweet.
Okay, and kind of give us a little bit of an indication as to what it's like to actually ski on the Yarra River, because it's a totally beast to pretty much everywhere else in the world, save for a couple of places which are on river sites.
Unique, definitely unique. It's I don't know how many people have gone to Moomba and missed their first pass.
Wow.
Especially the first pass at Moomba in slalom, you go under a bridge. So you're looking under this bridge with, you know, your mouth open like, whoa. And then you see the slalom course, you're like, okay. And as you go to pull out for your gates, it's super, super bumpy. So, you know, you got this bridge distracting, you pull out for your gates, getting thrown around, bounced about, and then you turn in for your gate and they start moving on you, you know, like.
That's why they have the Moomba gate rule.
Yeah, you just got to hit the boy, right? Because it's crazy, especially that first pass, you just are like shell-shocked because it's just crazy. It felt pretty difficult. I've skied there before when I was young. I was out in Australia for a bit and I'd skied a couple Moombas. This is the first one I'd skied as a pro and it felt much harder this year than previous years. I don't know what was going on, but it was rollier than I remembered.
Yeah, I mean, the current has to be taken into account as well. I mean, especially if it's a tail current, huh?
Yeah, tail current can be tricky. I wasn't slaloming as well as I wanted to slalom coming into that one. So that was kind of a difficult one. But I was jumping well and I was excited for jump. And the head current and the tail current, that can be interesting. If you get tail current and jump, you kind of end up going faster into the ramp, which is cool. But yeah, this year we were fortunate. We had like pretty much no current. It was actually really nice to jump. It was just kind of hard to slalom.
Okay. What about tricking? I mean, tricking a Moomba is, well, almost the same as tricking everywhere else, isn't it? Or does the current player play a role in as to what pass you've put in first and which one you go in second?
Yeah, the current's important. If the boats, you have to change your boat speed for trick. Like, we can change our speed in trick, can't we? So you're trying to set the speed to get the wakes right. And that can be kind of difficult because it's changing from skier to skier sort of thing. So you're kind of having to make it work with what you got. And then the water's brackish. It's kind of salty, so it's slippy, which can catch you out. So, yeah, if you're not confident and prepared, then Moomba can catch you out for sure.
So do you have to make any changes to the rope length or anything like that? Or I mean, would you be prepared to do that?
No,
or?
Just changing your speed. You know, roughly, you know, you're going to be four clicks up. You know, they start figuring it out based off the current, and skiers go out and start figuring out, okay, they're roughly going four or five clicks. But yeah, you got to be able to be adaptable. Like, you know, you might feel fast, but the boat's going slow and the wakes are wide and you catch the wake on your first flip. So you got to be adaptable with the way that you trick.
Okay, so you got to like think on your feet a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be adaptable, I think.
Okay, so Moomba, you won the jump, and that kind of set off a whole cascade of victories that has continued on throughout the course of the season. But let's move on from Moomba a little bit. Mm-hmm. After you returned from Australia, what happened there?
I went back home to England for a little bit, just for, you know, 10 days, took a little break. And then, yeah, got back to training. It was a weird start to the season this year. I was struggling to get going. The year before, it just felt really easy. I just came back and was like exactly where I left. This season, I was sort of struggling in every event just to kind of get back. Jump, I did feel good, but it was still early season. It normally takes a few months before you feel super confident in a jump. But yeah, it was a weird start to the season for me, honestly. I was just up and down, especially slalom. I've been up and down a little bit. I've been tricking well. But yeah, jump felt great. So yeah, we came back and started training. The next big one was Masters. We had Swiss Pro Trick in the middle and Swiss Pro Slalom.
Mm-hmm.
But the next, you know, big three-event opportunity for me was Masters.
Okay, So, I mean, we did the Swiss tournaments, then the Masters. I mean, was it around about that time where you did some serious ski testing for the new Vapor that was to be released in a few months later? Or was the whole testing and R&D that's involved in that ski, did that occur earlier around about the time that you came back?
Yeah, so did most of my testing at the start of the year. I did a little bit at the end of last year, but it was mostly at the start of this year. Yeah, stayed on just my original ski to go ski Moomba and everything. Didn't want to mess around. And then when I got back from Moomba, I was like, okay. And, you know, that adaption process was actually really cool. We just kind of got it right this year with a slalom ski. Like, it felt really good. My score just in tournament hasn't been there right now. You know, I'm maybe a little more focused on jump and trick. I didn't give as much focus to slalom this last year. I kind of decided, I did a lot of slalom tournaments last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did too many. It was around, all in all the rounds I did, it was 87 tournament rounds.
Wow.
So as you can imagine, by the end of the season, I was like super beat up and I was kind of sick of skiing. And when I came back to start skiing, I felt like I just hadn't had long enough time away. So I'm like, I'm going to have to choose my eggs here and which baskets. And yeah, I put a lot into jump. Quite a few into trick.
Mm-hmm.
And slalom, I guess, was kind of the ugly sister this last year. But we have a plan to fix that.
Okay, I'll be intrigued to find out what that plan's going to be for the next season, you know. But I mean, you mentioned about slalom. I mean, just taking it out of you, you know. I mean, is that physically or up here as well?
You know, I do three events, right? So there's only so many sets you can do in a day. And when one event's not going well, it's easy to do two sets of that event and then just one set of the other two. But at the start of the season, I just wasn't skiing as well as I wanted to ski, especially in trick. And I felt like I have a really good opportunity to start winning trick events again. It's been a while. So I just, you know, my second set, my fourth set, I guess, instead of it being slalom like it was last year, it was trick. So I've just put more focus into trick this last year. Sadly, I've not really had many opportunities to showcase that. You know, I didn't ski very well at Worlds, so that was a good opportunity. And then other than that, we had Swiss Pro Trick and Masters. And Swiss Pro, it was great. I tricked 12-4. And Masters, I tricked 12 in the prelim. I got a little messed up in the final. And, you know, there was some judging I didn't agree with. But that is part of the game. You know, sometimes you just get the roll of the dice. But I also messed up. So can't be mad at judges, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I messed up. Exactly. I was going to go in a little bit later and ask you about trick judging and the advent of iTrick, and because there are a number of opinions out there from a number of different skiers whether they like it, how it's scoring and it's pacing. I mean, because you've got to agree. I mean, I was about to ask this question even later, but the World Championships. I mean, those trick scores and those performances were coming in bam, 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 yep. bam.
Absolutely. No, I love trick eye.
iTrick.
iTrick. Not trick eye, my bad. I'm a huge fan. I think it's exactly where we should be moving towards. There is just that adaption process. And, you know, I think it's maybe bringing out some of the issues that have existed in trick for a while when it comes to judging. You know, the rules are written very vague. It's not written the best possible way. So I think, you know, if we can improve that, then we would see trick eye really take off. iTrick. Yeah. sorry, Donal. But yeah, I mean,
so would you rewrite, for example, how one would properly execute like a toe wako or something like that without pre-turning?
Yeah, just go through how things actually are done. The rules were written 20, 30 years ago when we watched from the side and people had a big horn.
Yeah.
That's how they timed it. You know, we're in a pretty different spot. We've got like HD cameras. TWBC is zoomed in. It's slow-mo, right? You know, iTrick, we're watching at 80% speed. So the way that we're watching trick is just different to the way we used to, so the judging needs to adapt. That's not anyone's fault. That's just we haven't progressed as the sport's progressed. And, you know, we look at tournaments where the judging's maybe not been as good as it has been. It, you know, for like at the Worlds, it was really good. At the under 21 Worlds, there was, you know,
a bit of
a commotion going on, right?
I was wondering if you saw any of that, all of that commotion towards the end.
Yeah, there was just... Well, I think the end was, you know, if we just focus on that, it's not very fair. Like, if you look at the tournament as a whole, there was just a lot of inconsistencies and we weren't judging to the best of the ability, right? And I don't want to blame those judges because they did the job the way the rules are written. It's not on them. It's the way the rules are written. Nobody could do a credit toe wako. Like, it was almost impossible, you know, yeah, because exactly. The way it's written and the way that we're watching it don't match. So, you know, things like that just highlight that we need to change. And, you know, we have a trick council and a committee. We've brought that up. We've talked about it. It's number one priority. So it's getting fixed. And, you know, I think what we'll see in the next few years will be great.
Yeah, tick off the boxes. Toe wake lino, ski lino, all of those. Mostly the line tricks, you know, because as you know and everyone else knows that the line's got to be out the water for the entirety of the execution of the trick, save for the very end, you know.
Yeah, well, for toes, no, it's just the foot. The rope doesn't matter. For hands, yeah, the line can't get wet. But trick judging is what it is right now. We are working on it, and you know, I'm pretty optimistic that we're going in the right direction. It sucks that things like that under 21 Worlds happen, you know, and that have happened. But I think it just makes us aware, okay, we actually need to make an adaptation now because things like this happen if we don't. So yeah, it's, the changes are happening. Yeah, we'll have news of that pretty soon, I think.
Okay, what about points allocations for certain tricks, you know? Because mm-hmm. I mean, last season or the season before, you submitted tricks to the World Tournament Council for approval, which they got approved.
Yep.
But they're not worth doing.
Yep.
Because they take so much time to recover from them.
Yep.
So therefore, you don't put them in.
Yeah, difficulty of tricks and point values have not... It's been a consistent issue we've had in trick. That has highlighted it. You know, those tricks... We'll talk about the front flip 540 and the front flip ski line 540. They're both 950 points. Mm-hmm. One of them you do a ski line, one of them you do not. They're the same amount of points. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like that. But again, we have this whole like trick committee thing, and it is like a massive topic of conversation. We've talked about it. I can't really give you all the details of that. You'll see in the next sort of coming months, hopefully. But yeah, we are making good changes. I think, you know, the future of trick's great. Like, if we can make these changes that we're talking about, we will see a new evolution of trick. We'll see people do these tricks, you know.
Excellent. I will look forward to seeing a few of those maybe next season at the Swiss Pro Tricks, or maybe even earlier at the Boomer Masters, who knows. But let's carry on for the schedule. I mean, you won the Masters in the men's jumping competition, not for the first time. I mean, mm-hmm. what was that like?
Yeah, win number three at Masters. Yeah. That one was unreal. The first time I won, I don't want to say it was luck. I skied well. The conditions were challenging, and my competitors just didn't ski as well as they could have. The second time I won, I was pretty happy with that one. That one felt really good. It was the first win since the first. It took 2 years or so to get that. And the third one, it felt better than the first because it was back-to-back. I jumped 230 foot, and we had a fast time. So the jump didn't count. I remember that. So I had to go and... You know, I jumped 230 foot. I go crazy down the lake. I'm roaring. I'm screaming. They drop me in fast time. Doesn't count. Yeah. So I'm like, all of a sudden, I got to focus back up now because I got to do another jump. I'd almost kind of pre-celebrated, right? So I'm calming myself down again and trying to just like level back in. And I go 230 again. And then I went mental.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was throwing a fist midway through the air. Like, I was pretty chuffed with that. Just jumping 230, I was happy with that. Win, lose, I was happy with how I skied. And that I managed to do it back to back, which was really cool. And that one felt really good. I was pretty happy with that.
I'm sure there are folks out there that are listening to this and like wondering when are we going to get to the part in this podcast where I'm asking you what are the keys to your consistency and being able to knock down these jumps every single time,
mm-hmm.
you know, of over 70 meters, you know, over 230 feet. So when you go out into the water, when the line goes tight and it makes its turn, and then you go into the jump course, I mean, what's on your mind
by that point? I'm trying not to think. For me, it's about facing fear. It's pretty scary. Like jumps, it's scary, especially when you're trying to jump 230 foot and more. You kind of have to go to a bit of a dangerous place. A lot can go wrong. And the biggest obstacle is forgetting about that so that you can do it calmly. Because if you're panicked, that's when things normally do go wrong. So yeah, knock on wood, I'm just trying to stay as calm as possible and trust myself and, you know, just do what I can do, right? Can't do anything more than you can do.
Yeah, we're doing this interview where we're on a great big wooden table, so yeah. there's plenty
of wood to knock on.
Plenty of surface area to work there, you know. So I mean you won the Masters. I mean, what was the next tournament after that, remind me?
LA Night Jam.
Oh yeah, LA Night Jam. Yeah, yep. So yeah, one of my favorite ones. I mean, it's where I get to play a little bit of Ringmaster, a little bit on that one, and that is at night.
Yep.
You know, which brings a whole new set of problems. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, Night Jam's awesome. Jumping at night, it's behind a Mastercraft as well, so we got a good jump boat. You know, I got to slam this year as well, which is really cool. Got a piece of 3 up 41.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a really cool event. I feel like I say this about every event. It's like one of my favorite events. I feel like I just love the events that we have going on right now. All the events are really cool.
And you get a whole bunch of folks that have never seen water skiing before, never seen you.
We get a good crew there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
We get a really good group. And, you know, Bennett's is such an awesome site. It's so good to jump there. So yeah, you know that there's the opportunity to jump far. It's dark. It's scary. You know, it's exciting. It's fun. Normally, there's a pretty good crew of us out there. And yeah, I love Night Jam. And that one went really well. Although, on jump one at night, the landing area was just like a little bit dark.
Jumping too far. That's what it is.
Well, it was good to about like 220. And then as you went over 220, it got like a little bit darker. I think we just had the lights slightly angled wrong, and my vision at night is like not that great, as is anyone, but yeah, I just couldn't see my landing. And when I landed just like a sack of potatoes, and I busted my rib.
Ouch.
So my rib, like, it's still like out of place. I think I bruised it and had like a small oh, I can't remember the name, but it's like a bone bruise, basically.
Okay.
Not out of place.
Not as bad as Flo Paths, right? I mean,
yeah, I've seen his. His was like super out of place. But no, I mean, it was sticking out of place. It hurt. Like, but I mean, I'm like, what the hell just happened? Because I was coming down to land and I thought I had longer than I did. And then next thing you know, I hit the water. So, you know, I kind of crashed unexpectedly and it hurt, but I was like, I don't really know what hurts. And I'm going down the lake and I'm checking my knees and my like elbows and my shoulders, and I'm coming back into the jump course like, nope, they all feel good. And I pull out for the six and I'm like, oh, there it is, like, it's my rib. Well, that was on the pull out for the six. I did my counter cut and was like, oh, it doesn't hurt. And then I turned for the jump and was like, oh, there it is again, you know. So I was in a bit of pain, but managed to kick that next one and take the win, which was really cool. I think it was like 222 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, took win number 3 of the season.
Yep. Okay. And then you continued on from there. The what was the one after Night Jam? It was a while before you did the next one. And I think the next one
was California.
Next one was California.
California Pro-Am.
And somewhere around about there was the Herbs Cup, wasn't it?
No. Herbs Cup was right before Worlds this year, so I didn't get to ski Herbs Cup. We had a tournament in Canada, the overall tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the greatest jump setup. It's kind of like a crosswind, and the boat wasn't very strong. We just like weren't getting any speed swing. It was like a 56K MT.
Yeah.
Which we jump at 57.
That's just...
So the boat was like slowing down.
Kind of like pulling it back.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but like I had the biggest jump with 201 foot, and I was like actually kind of happy with that. So it was a challenge. So yeah, then the next real jump tournament was California.
Yeah.
And California's a great jump site, right?
Yeah.
So I was super excited for that one, and I'd been jumping really well in practice. I felt like I was just starting to sort of get my rhythm. I took a break in the middle of the season. I went on a van trip in California for 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Went to Yosemite, went to Big Sur, went along the coast, just got away from skiing for 2 weeks. Everyone else went to Europe.
What was your takeaway from that? I mean, being able to explore the majesty that is the National Park Service.
I was in heaven. I only did 3 or 4 days in Yosemite, and every day was like, I felt like I was going to see a dinosaur. Like, it, I've never been somewhere like that.
Poke his head out.
Yeah, it was. We did see bears. We saw bears driving into the park. We saw bears the first day.
Not the bears actually driving, but
no. They were just like walking across the road. There's like a mama and her two little cubs, and it was really cool. And yeah, I mean, that place is just unreal. Like, I love that. I love being outside, hiking, bonfires. Like, that's my element.
Okay. So we mentioned the California Pro, you won that event. Did you start to believe around about that time that maybe I can actually get out of the season, you know, undefeated, you know, once you got to that point?
At that point, I wasn't so much thinking about being undefeated. I was just, like, I wanted to win Worlds. And I wanted to win Worlds in every event. That was the original goal. But from the start of the season, you know, I'd write down my goals, and winning Worlds was in jump was the main. That was at number one of the list. Win jump. And then, of course, you know, I wanted to win the other events, but jump was the ultimate goal.
And who did you show this list to? Did you show them to Matt and you looked at them and said, well, okay.
No, it's just for me.
Just for you?
Just for me. You know, when I come back to skiing, I like to kind of every year is different. I want to have goals for that year. Sometimes I don't always achieve those goals, you know, and they might roll over to next year or change. It's not always water skiing. It's like, you know, life. And yeah, that was number one. So after California, it was like, all right, here we go. Let's get ready. And I really started focusing on jump. That was my priority. I was jumping unreal in practice.
Because you know that it could have come down to jump for the overall, had things gone to plan, right?
Yeah, I try not to think too much about the overall. I want to win slalom, trick, and jump, and if I do that, I should win overall, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I'm trying to do those independently. And yeah, I mean.
But obviously, the tricking portion of the world championship, I think that the thought of you not winning the overall or not prevailing high enough in that event probably hit you pretty hard under that realization,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think I had focused so much on winning every event when I got to Worlds, I didn't think about overall as much. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure out where I went wrong with that one. Should I have done an easier run? You know,
yeah.
That's kept me up at night. And I didn't, because I just wanted to go out and be as high a seed as possible in trick. But yeah, when I woke up on the day of Worlds, I just didn't feel 100% confident. I didn't feel like, yeah, I just didn't feel like I was fully trusting myself and confident and like I normally do. I was nervous and trying to ignore it versus face it. And yeah, it bit me in the ass. Didn't work out, which sucked. I have lost sleep over that.
I'm sure the slalom didn't work. Didn't feel that good either. You know, you scored two in the quarter at 41.
Yeah,
and you probably realized not too long afterwards that you weren't going to be in the trick final or the slalom final.
Yeah.
So it was one event.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, after the trick, I really started to just focus on jump. I was a bit torn up by it. It affected me more than I thought it would, because I wanted to win overall, but I didn't realize how much that meant. And after I lost, I was pretty just upset, and just it meant a lot. So I was trying to just like pull myself back together, and I just was like trying to find my mentality to feel confident and good and like happy. Because I ski well when I feel confident and when I'm like feeling good inside, and I felt everything but that. I was like, I don't want to say ashamed, but just like let down with myself, because I felt like I had just choked, and I've done it twice now, you know? So I just had to figure out a way to get over that. And yeah, after trick, my focus really went into jump. I wanted to slalom well, but I knew, okay, I'm here to jump. Let's focus on jump. And yeah, slalom, you know, it wasn't bad. I didn't embarrass myself. I didn't ski as well as I wanted to ski. I was right there. I was close. I think I was, you know, close. But yeah, not quite. But hey, it's fuel for the fire. I managed to get out of there with a world championship still, so it wasn't a total failure.
All right, then. Okay. We'll get back a little bit to your jumping and the 72 meter jump that took you to the world title. But there are a lot of other things that were going around about that time with some of your competitors. I mean, like Brandon Shipper. I mean, where did that come from?
Yeah, right? Yeah, there was some serious um, serious jump scores. I mean, Brandon, like, he's a unit. I'm not surprised. Like, the boat was strong, the ramp was good, the drivers were good. When you get a setup like that, it's not often that you get that.
He just stepped off the plane, strapped his jump skis on, and boom.
Yeah, what you hear before the finals, he did arms so he wouldn't be too, like, strong on the handle.
No,
he worked his arms out in the morning so that he would be more relaxed and not be like too tense.
Okay. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, Brandon's mad dog, man. He's a cool guy. I like him a lot.
And the celebration afterwards was something to savor, wasn't it?
Yeah, no kidding. Honestly though, when people start jumping far, it makes you go, okay, there's distance out there, because that's important. You get to so many sites and the boat's not good. You know, the jump's not good. Something is stopping you from being able to jump far. It's a tailwind. But when people are jumping far...
You had a good boat, good ramp, good conditions, the whole bit.
Good drivers. Like,
oh, yeah.
When
Glenn
you get,
Martin and...
Yeah, we had Scott, right? And so when you have that, that perfect little cocktail starts coming together.
I'm not too sure whether Scott was in this one, was he?
Yeah, he drove me.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was cool.
Okay, and what about Dorian? I mean, a good friend of yours, right?
Yep.
I was
really happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know how important it is for him to win a world. So, like, he wants to win overall. He won Trek. I know that would have felt good, but I know he wanted to win that overall. And, yeah, he's been going... Like, he's gone through a lot of battles, huh? Like, he's gone through a lot of injuries and
LA things Night just Jam haven't... a couple of seasons ago, yep. Right?
Things just haven't quite gone his way these last couple of years, and honestly, like, seeing him win, like, it did bring me quite a bit of happiness. Like, it was cool to see that for him. I was really happy for him.
All right, now back to you. Okay.
Yeah, back to me.
Back to you. Okay, you're the penultimate skier to take to the water. I mean, Ryan Dodd was going to be the last off the dock, you know.
Yep. So I'm out first. We tied in the prelim and it was essentially like a coin toss for who was going to go first or second. I end up being the first guy out.
Be honest, after you landed that first jump, you jumped 72.1 meters, right?
Yeah.
And then you cruised in front of the dock, right in front of Ryan Dodd. Mm. Was that a little bit of gamesmanship?
I was very excited. Yeah. I was just happy to have landed that jump and... You know, yeah, I didn't mean to get, like, two in his face or anything. I was just expressing myself in that moment. Mm. Sucks that he was standing right there for it, maybe, but...
I even said that it almost harked to the days back in the 87 world. I don't know whether you knew about that whole situation that unfolded between Mike Hazelwood's dad and Sammy Duvall.
Yeah, they got into a bit of a scrapper.
Yeah.
No, I'd say, like, we're pretty respectful, yeah, he was the last thing on my mind. I was focused on me, trying to do what I do. And yeah, in that moment, once I came off the ramp, I was going so fast and there's a 70 meter buoy and I flew past it and I knew, you know, I was worried that I didn't celebrate until I stood up, because sometimes you land so far ahead of the boat, you can't stand back up. Like, you're too far ahead. You fall into, like, this hole and you get a big hit. And it actually happened to me in practice, so I was stressed about that. I stood up that jump, and I was just over the moon, going absolutely nuts. I lost my voice a little bit after that. I was roaring so loud.
All right, then. So you won the world championship title.
Mm-hmm.
European record. You outdistanced Bojan Szczypner, right?
Yep. Which, that's pretty cool. I've been chasing that one for a while. That was the next one on the list. Next up, world record.
All right, then. So, we're definitely looking forward to that. So I mean, a day or so later, Jane Peel managed to get the word out to ITV Sport.
Yeah, that was cool.
ITV London, you know, I saw that, you know. So, I mean, did any of your friends from that part of the world contact you or anything like that, or offer their congratulations or what have?
I got a handful of messages on like Facebook and stuff. That was pretty cool. And yeah, cool to sort of see water skiing on TV a little bit as well, right?
Yeah.
But I don't have a whole lot of friends back in England anymore. I got like one or two. Oh. But yeah, all my friends are water skiers, so they live everywhere in the world.
And it'll be nice to see you on Spotty at some stage, which is the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. Hopefully at some stage in the future, and this will probably help. You know, you would maybe at least be a part of the whole festivities there.
Yeah, I mean, if I get the call up, that'll be really cool.
Mm-hmm. All right then, so we're done with the season, at least so far as title events were concerned.
Mastercraft Pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just this past weekend. Yep. We still got three more tournaments to go, one slalom and two more overall, but Mastercraft Pro are certainly high on your list of priorities because it's behind the boat that sponsors you.
Yeah, it's behind a Mastercraft, which I love. You know, haven't always jumped as well as I wanted to at Mastercraft Pro. It's a tournament I really wanted to win. I was super focused on winning Worlds.
Yeah,
and that kind of took all my attention. And then after Worlds, you know, we went and skied that overall tournament in Austria, which I had a lot of rage from the whole trick thing. So that kind of kept me going through it. And then when I got back to America, I was a little bit... After Worlds, you get that dip. I thought I dodged it because I went to Austria and I was fired up and I skied well there.
Yeah, you did.
And then I came home and then it hit and it kicked in. And I, like, for a second there, I think I just was like giving myself a pat on the back for having a good season kind of thing. And I went out, I had a set, I had a practice set at Hancock and it wasn't very good. I was like, eh. But I wasn't that upset about it. And then I saw Ryan. He came to come do a practice set. I didn't even know he was skiing, but he had shown up. And yeah, I didn't expect him to be there. And
I mean, what's up with that? I mean, like, Ryan will... I mean, in the tournaments that you'd expect Ryan to go to, he goes. And then he shows up for one or two other events. Now, most people, I mean, at least from my perspective, don't expect him to go to that many tournaments during the course of the season, but he has been showing up lately at quite a few.
Talking to him, he's been going through some stuff outside of skiing and he's been dealing with injuries. So I think he's just been facing his own challenges these last couple of years, which is, you know, it's been really cool for me because it kind of gave me like a unique opportunity. It's always been Ryan versus Freddie. Last year it was kind of me versus Freddie. And I'm sure if Ryan was in the mix, you know, the outcome of tournaments last year could have been quite different. But yeah, he hadn't been around as much. So I kind of got like a little opportunity to taste winning. And then, yeah, this year, I guess he didn't do a few of those tournaments at the start, or I guess Moomba, and he didn't do Night Jam. But yeah, he was at California, he was at Masters, came to Worlds, and then yeah, he came to Mastercraft Pro as well. I think he probably wants that taste of winning again.
and another skier that will be looking to try and win some more before all is said and done is Freddy Krueger, who's he picked up an injury or two at the beginning of the season, was unable to be a part of the World Championships or any other tournament for that matter around about that time, you know. But if he can get back on a pair of jump skis and ski to the point where he's competitive again, then he can't be discounted, can he?
I don't think that's if. I think that's when. It's Freddy Krueger, man. The guy's not human. You know? Yeah, he'll be back 100%. He's dealing with some injuries, but he's disciplined. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, I have no doubt we'll see him flying far again. And you know, he's my favorite person to compete against. I love competing against him. We have a really good relationship. He's been a bit of a mentor and he's given me a lot of his time. And yeah, we have a really good, healthy relationship, especially competition wise. So yeah, I'm looking forward to him being back next year.
All right then. So, three more tournaments. One of them is a slalom one, the Travers Grand Prix. Now, You're skiing on the brand new Vapor, which we saw you at the beginning of the season. You know, sometimes it takes a while for a skier to actually adapt to a new ski. in that vein, mm-hmm. how do you think it's gone so far? I mean, what major differences are there between the ski that you rode at Moomba and the ski that you'll be riding at Travers Grand Prix?
Yeah, so we tweaked more the front of the ski. There was just like a few things about that old ski that we didn't love. You know, wasn't bad, it just felt like it could be improved, so we've sort of changed the tip of the ski and the shape, messed around with a few other things. Matt's taken over it on the design process. He would explain in a much more technical language than I would, but essentially it feels like a flatter tip.
Yeah, because I noticed that. I mean, it's clearly obvious. I saw a Whitney ski after she skied, and the tip rocker not nearly as pronounced as it was in previous years.
Yep. So we had like this spot on the old ski. It was almost like a dead spot if you stood on the ski. It just didn't react the way you wanted it to. It kind of like suck behind you a little bit. You know, one really specific spot, not an issue for 99% of the time, but then you would go there every now and then and it would just kind of mess you up.
Yeah.
Well, the tricky thing when you change something on a ski is when you change one thing, it can kind of like change everything else, right?
Yeah.
It can change the whole foundation.
It's like a fin, you know? I mean, if you drop it down, you've got to make some adjustments to the wing.
So you've got to make adaptions throughout the ski to complement it, and it felt like maybe we were just like a little bit unbalanced with the way the ski was set up. So there were parts on the ski that felt amazing and there were parts on the ski that were weaknesses, so we just tried to kind of improve that front end of the ski. It looks flatter, it's actually got a better tunnel all the way through to the tip, which is really good. So it's like super consistent when you get up there, nothing unexpected or crazy happens, you can kind of just rely on it. Which, you know, for most of the guys on the team, they've all really liked it. I've really liked it as well. I adapted pretty much immediately. I haven't focused on slalom as much as I kind of wanted to this last little bit. You know, I've had tournaments where it's been really good. Like at California, I was slaloming really well and I felt like I was going to run 41 in one of the rounds. I like turned 4 and was inside 5. So, you know, it's working. I'm just not quite as consistent as I've been in the past, but you know, it's the emotional roller coaster of water skiing,
and it which continues to two more tournaments afterwards. You've got the tournament at Fluid, the overall tournament at Fluid, mm-hmm. and then you've got another one at Travers. Two more opportunities for you, not only to take the win, but also to maybe end off with a world overall record, possibly. Who knows?
Yeah, I want that new record. It's not in a place that I'm happy with it yet, and this whole season, I've just not had an opportunity to put it where I want it to be. Worlds was my opportunity. I jumped good enough. I would have slalomed. Slalom was good enough. I just didn't stand up my trick run. I got a record brewing. I can feel it. I just got to get it together on the day.
What does your off season look like now?
So normally I would take quite a bit of time off. I would get away and sort of escape. I've kind of made a bit of a long-term commitment to what I'm trying to do in skiing. So I'm sacrificing a little bit of my playtime to work on new things, get stronger. I think I can make a couple adaptions and become a better skier.
You've already visited Yogi Bear, so.
Yeah. So I had my little break in the summer instead of in the winter. So I'm going to have 2 weeks no skiing with a family. One of my friends is getting married. I'm going on the bachelorette trip.
Oh, nice.
Which
nice.
Is really cool.
Anyone I know?
Yeah, Taryn Grant.
Oh, yeah. January, right? Somewhere around
there. Yeah. So, you know, really excited for that. Got some cool things. And then, you know, I'll be back to Chile again. I love going out there. And then a bit of time back in Florida. And then we ski Moomba.
Any trick ski designs you want to divulge? Is the new design for 2026 something that we'll all marvel at? A work of art?
Yeah, discussions have been talked about. I think we have something really cool. I'm excited for it, but obviously I can't tell you anything about it.
Well, you can tell me, but you can't show me, but you can at least tell me about it.
No. We got to have the secrets. But I'm excited for this winter. I'm excited to I'm going to be doing more skiing than I normally would in the winter and try and make some changes in my skiing. I have some weaknesses that I need to address and fix, and I just need some time to work on them.
Okay. All right, then. We'll round it off round about there. Thank you so very much for affording us a little bit of time to talk to each other. But
thanks for having me on, Tony.
No worries. Is there anything you'd like to say to close out on?
Make water skiing great again. You know, those grassroots tournaments are really important. So anyone out there who's considering, shouldn't I do a tournament? Do it, put it on, show your friends a good time, and keep pushing this sport.
All right, then, and that concludes this episode of the TWBC podcast. Thanking Joel Poland for his participation. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.